Okay, so with that said, let's get this town hall meeting underway. So peace, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you all to this week's Black Violence Matter town hall meeting. My name is Brother Lou, and I will be your host this evening. So if this is your first time calling in, I want to run down a few ground rules of how we manage these calls. They usually last for about 2 hours, but if we have a really good one, we can extend it. And if it's, you know, if no one wants to participate, then we can cut it short. So let me just say in advance that we appreciate you to come hanging out with us tonight. I hope you're feeling inspired and empowered because you are now on a platform with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters who have come together for the purposes of discussing solutions to many of the problems we face in our community in an organized and an intelligent manner. So if you remember when you called in, I addressed you as either brother or sister. And the reason we address one another as such is to show you respect and as a sign of solidarity. During these calls, we do not like to discuss religion. We do not discuss the black male-female dynamic. We do not discuss political party affiliation. The reason we do not discuss these issues are because they are all opinion-based. We'll be here going around and around in circles all night. No one will be right and no one will be wrong, and it will make for an unproductive call. So with that said, I want to explain to you what Black Violence Matter is. Black Violence Matter is a member association. It's an association comprised of brothers and sisters that believe the only way we're going to fix the problems in our black community is if we do it ourselves and we start using the power of the black dollars that we already have. It's estimated we spend $1.4 trillion a year on consumer goods. So if we were to pool a fraction of those resources and practice group economics, we could have a major financial impact on this country and transform our community. This is a form of black capitalism. I understand some people may not like it because we're not faring too well under the system, but what we are focused on doing is learning the rules of the game and getting really good at playing it. That's the only way we're going to win. So that's really what the purpose of this organization is. It's to understand the systems that we're living under and then figure out a way to create a counterbalancing system. Because what we have here, we have oppression and injustice, and it's systematic. The racism and the oppression is systematic. And we need a counterbalance or a system that's going to work to basically defend and protect us against those inflictions. So we want to bring together like-minded brothers and sisters who are sick and tired of the sad state of affairs in our black community and who are motivated to take action. We want brothers and sisters who believe the first steps to solving our problems is unity, and then secondly, investing in ourselves and in our people. The understanding that the oppression that we face is built into the American system is our first step to liberating our people and elevating our people. That's why nothing else, in my opinion, nothing else has worked for us before, because no one has actually taken time to try to understand the system. We'll attack, we'll say poverty, we'll say unemployment, we will say education, we will say, you know, all of these different topics, but we really need to understand that there's a system that caused us to have those problems. And once we truly understand the system, then we can actually start creating remedies for that. And we have a blueprint on our website that explains exactly how this organization wants to start where we are today and then take us to a position or take us to a place where our system is up and running and is working to the benefit of our people. So if you just bear with me for a moment, let me explain to you what that system would look like, what it would entail. First, the system would need to improve the quality of life for our people, right? So if you know right now, most of our people are struggling with, like I said, poverty, unemployment, things like that. We need to create a system that first will allow them to have a better quality of life. And that means that we would need very large businesses so that we can employ hundreds and thousands of our folks. We need these businesses because we have to learn how to run and create large-scale enterprises like manufacturing and distribution. If you look at, if you go and you look at any industries or whatever it is, you know, you look at who runs those companies, who owns those companies, you will see very few black and brown, very few black or brown faces running any major type of manufacturing, production, agricultural enterprise. And those are the cornerstones of like this economy, right? If we can't provide food to our people, we can't provide clothing, we can't provide shelter, we can't provide education, we can't provide health care, we can't provide financing, we become beholden to this system. And that's essentially where we currently are right now. So we have to find some way in the door. Manufacturing, distribution, we have to create things for our people. We have to be able to get things to our people and sell to our people. Because one of the major assets that we have numbers. We have 42, 43 million of us. That's an asset. We also have human capital, which is our willingness to work and our ability to get up and go and do something. That's essentially what we have as a people. The vast majority of us do not know how to go and create science labs and, you know, split atoms and, you know, create these large intranet computer networks and, you know, all of these things that are really changing the world. We don't really have a large set of people within our group of folks that know how to do this to pass that information along. But what we can do is we can buy businesses like transportation companies that would deal with distribution. We can buy manufacturing plants. We can buy companies like in Pennsylvania somewhere that get in a bunch of wood and turn the wood into bed frames and you know, baseball bats and all of these kinds of things, right? Those are the kinds of industries we need to start looking at, right? I mean, obviously, we would focus on things that appeal to our folks, but, you know, we need to get our foot in the door. When we have some of these large types of businesses, this will give us a large enough revenue stream so that when we deposit them with a banking institution, they will have no other choice but to respect us and offer us preferential treatment and the option of borrowing more money. See, one of the biggest problems that we have, Brother Cujo and I, we were talking about it, there is no one making an investment in our education or in our improvement as a people. There's no one. So we are going to have to do it for ourselves. We're going to have to teach ourselves business information, business education. We're going to have to give ourselves a cultural education. And it's going to take money. No one is going to make that investment in us. And we can't borrow money from a bank to do this, right? We can't go into a bank and say, hey, listen, we want to fix the black community. Could you give us a loan? That's not how it works. We have to go in and say, hey, we have, you know, supermarkets, and they're producing this amount of money, this amount of profit every year, and we want to borrow money based on our profit, based on the physical assets that we have. That's how it works. So we need to start generating a large base of revenue from a pro-black perspective, from the perspective of saying we are going to make the investment for the improvement of our people, and it needs to represent something of a business. If it doesn't, we will never have the resources that we need to actually change this thing. Never. We will never. If you look at most organizations, most black organizations that have some size or whatever, they usually have some kind of corporate sponsor or whatever it is. And it's usually not our people. It's some other person who has an agenda. And it never really lasts long. If we want something for ourselves, that's going to last, that's actually going to make the changes that we need, the changes that we want, we're going to have to make that investment ourselves. And the way that we have to do it is we have to become worth investing. We have to show that we know how to take in a small amount of money and put it through a machine and turn it into a larger sum of money. That's when you have that type of knowledge, this is how you can get someone like Trump, even though he done had 5011 bankruptcies, and 5011 is a new crazy word or whatever, but he just had a bunch of bankruptcies, and he's still able to borrow large sums of money because his brand, his name, you put some money in and you slap that Trump name on something, regardless of how we feel, people are going to go and stay at that hotel or that resort or that golf club or whatever it is. So it's a worthwhile investment for the banks. And that's what we need to do. We need, as a people, we need to become worth, we need to make ourselves worth the investment. And that means improving our human capital. That means improving our knowledge base, right? So, like I said, no one is going to make that investment in us. We know this. We'll have to do it ourselves. We have to become productive, right? So when we need the education to learn how to run these types of businesses, when we need to learn how to invest large sums of money and run organizations with thousands of employees all across the country, who do you think is going to make that investment in our people, in our education? Right, that's education is like a long term investment. It's like a sunk cost. No one is going to do it if we don't start doing it for ourselves. Right, we have to really prioritize putting that type of education into our children. We have to learn the systems, and then we have to pass that on to future generations. And we have to start now. A lot of us have children. A lot of us have grandchildren. What is your legacy going to look like? Are you going to leave the world? I mean, most of us, this world has, especially our community is worse off than when we came into it. Because, even though we were a little closer to, segregation, Jim Crow, and some of you, guys on the call are old enough to actually remember, the civil rights movement and all that stuff. But, like, when we leave, it's the way we're going, we're going to be worse off. So we have to try to turn the ship around now. And we have to do it by trying to create this system that I'm talking about. A lot of times people ask me, we have talks and say, well, how are we really going to fix the problems in the black community? I get asked that all the time. And I listen to the solutions people say. And when I present my solution, it kind of makes them, some people it turns them off. But to be honest with you, this is the only thing that I see working. We're not going to be able to talk to every single black person and get them to automatically wake up and understand what we're talking about and then say, yes, I see the light, and then become, part of what we're doing. Every single person on this call knows that to be true. You can't go and talk to every single person in your family, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, and have them, like, quote, unquote, wake up, be woke. It doesn't work that way. They have to gradually experience something that leads them to that revelation or leads them to searching for more. But what we can do is we can let's look at these Asians and these Arabs and stuff like that. These people have systems for us where they come into our communities and they're able to pool our money. They're able to get us to march to the beat of their drum, because they have a system of commerce set up, and they take that money from us and do Lord knows what with it. And that's what we have to do, right? The blueprint is out there. People say black people have no unity and this, that, and the third, and we can't work together. And, other people have unified us. They have unified us, and they take our money from us. Everybody else looks at the system, and they take the money from us. That's the system. That's the way to do it. So what we have to do is recapture that money, set up our own system, recapture that money, and then put it back, reinvest it back into those communities. When we reinvest it back into those communities, and those men and women, give them jobs, opportunities, and things like that, they earn more money. And when they earn more money, that gives them more money to patronize us with these systems, and these systems that I'm talking about are basically business. These are economic systems. And it becomes a virtuous cycle, and it just grows and grows and grows. We get to have more money. And we keep it. It's like how the Jewish community does it. They, you know, they have their own stores. The Jewish community, they'll be there, you know, they're lawyers, they're whatever they are, doctors, whatever. They go out, they take the money from the secular community, and then they bring it into their Jewish community, and that money gets circulated multiple times. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but it gets circulated multiple times. Same thing with the Asian community. Same thing with the Latino community now, specifically like Mexican. They are really, really building up strongholds in many of these countries across, in many states across this country, many cities. They have their Mercado and the used car dealership and the insurance company and all of this stuff. And it's all designed to benefit them, their people here in America, which we've been here for 500 years, and they, you know, I don't know when they started flooding in, but, you know, that's the system that we need to build. So, like I said, it's, you know, what I'm talking about, it sounds like an enormous investment. And it is, right? Something like hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars. So if you're thinking something like that, you're right. It is. But let me show you, we can actually reach that. We can actually achieve that. So I want to show you how a small amount of money multiplied by, like I told you, I mentioned one of the assets that we have, which is our people, our numbers, our population, can snowball and get us to these larger numbers. So there's 42 million. There's 42 million of us. If 1 million of us, right, which is 2 or 3% or 2.3%, were to form an association, form a group, and were to have an average of $28 in terms of, you know, contributing to this organization, $28 a month, that would give us $28 million. Over the course of a year, that would give us $336 million. When you have $336 million of revenue in any kind of business or organization, you can get $1 or $2 billion. You can get more than that, actually. There's a term, it's called being a unicorn. That's what they use in Silicon Valley. When these companies generate $100 million in revenue, they're considered unicorns, which are billion-dollar companies. If we had $300 million running through a company, an organization, we would be triple unicorns. We would be worth $3 billion. Probably even more. We would definitely be able to get our hands on that type of money. And then that will allow us to go out and create these systems that we're talking about. And these systems are taking the form of community resource centers. The community resource centers are places for our youth to go when they have no place to go instead of hanging out on the street and getting in trouble. And what they're going to do there is they're going to learn about our culture. And they're going to learn employable skills, so computer programming, plumbing, electricity, welding, things like that. Their parents, those opportunities will be offered to their parents as well, because when the parents are able to make a good living, the parents are able to provide a better home environment for those same children. That's really at the crux of our problems. The vast majority of folks, they don't have like proper home training. There's no structure in the home. Many of us that come from the old school, we remember when there was structure in the home. And that's what allowed us, many of us, to be on this call tonight, because we want to do something. We want to see change. So let me explain to you how this organization plans to get to that million member goal. That's our goal for 5 years. In 5 years, Black Wallets Matter wishes to get to 1 million members in 5 years. But we have a goal for 2018 of 2,000 founding members. We currently have about 400 or so. But we want to get to 2,000 founding members. And let me show you how 2,000 founding members can get us to the million, which can get us to making this system, this vision that I'm telling you about, make it a reality. With 2,000 founding members, this organization would be generating something at the very minimum $20,000 a month. $20,000 a month will allow us to build a shopping portal. As many of you know, we are the largest consumers in the country. We are the largest ethnic group that spends money in this country. If we were a country, we would be the 10th richest, right? So we want to build a shopping portal where many of our brothers and sisters already shop. Everything is kind of moving online. E-commerce is going out of the, you know, it's blowing up. And we're leading the pack. So through that shopping portal, that will allow us to reach all the other brothers and sisters who have not come on this call, who don't know about Black Wallets Matter, who don't even care to make a change. They just want to buy their handbags and their, you know, health hair care products and groceries and whatever it is. The shopping portal will allow this organization to get a percentage of that money back, and we will also be able to give the shoppers cash back. So if anyone's familiar with like Ebates, E-B-A-T-E-S, that's the model that we're talking about. So the customer gets a percentage of their money back, and the organization gets a percentage of the amount of money that they spent. That will generate millions of dollars. And that's 2,000 people creating millions of dollars. Now let me give you an idea of what kind of numbers that kind of business generates. Ebates did $3 billion last year, if I'm not mistaken. And ever since we had this idea, ever since this organization was launched, there have been two more companies similar to that. And one of them that I'm looking at is already at like about $100 million. So the world is moving more to online shopping. It's growing year over year over year. That is something that we need to jump in front of, and that is something that we need to get our people on board with. We can do it right now, right? Because no one has made a major push for our people. Everyone is like, we're going to make a directory of Black businesses. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But the vast majority of us do not shop with Black businesses, not like to the degree that like Sister Rhonda. Sister Rhonda is hardcore. She'll do without if she can't shop with a Black business. But many of us are not like that. We go to Walmart, we go to Target, we go to JCPenney's and all these other places. So it would behoove us to take advantage of that. Once we have those millions of dollars, right? So I'm not going to say we're going to have hundreds of millions, but we definitely could have, I don't know, $2, $3, $4, $5, $10 million. Now we can start going into these neighborhoods that need it the most, Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, Philly, Atlanta, places that have a high visibility with problems on a national level that basically kind of like it kind of puts a blight on us all, right? So the rest of the country looks at what's going on in Chicago, what's going on in Baltimore, what's going on in Atlanta and some of these other places, and they're like, what the hell is going on with these Black folks? And that makes them shy away from, like, investing in us. So we'll invest in ourselves. If we can go into one of these areas and drop the crime rate, increase the graduation rate, and increase the graduation rate or anything of note, that will make everyone say, oh, my God, whatever they built, it's working. And you know how I know this can work? You know how I know something like that can be done with the right investment? There's a gentleman by the name of Jeffrey Canada, and he built the same thing in Harlem. He built it in Harlem when Harlem was Harlem. Like the drugs and the drug dealers and the violence and all that crazy. He went into Harlem and brought up, I forgot how many square blocks it was. He created the Harlem's Children's Zone. Those children, after I forgot how many years, they were at the top. Like they were competing with Asian kids in terms of their scores. They surpassed white kids. They were, like, competing with the Asian kids in regards to their test scores. And what he did was he provided services and things for their parents. So if their parents needed health insurance, if their parents weren't working or whatever it was, he provided for those parents so that when those children left from the Harlem Children's Home, they were taken care of in their home environment. This model works. Now, he raised money from the private sector and he retired or whatever. But if we were to do this for our people, you know what that would do? That would cause our celebrities and other luminaries to look at us and be like, holy cow. There would be news reports and everything about this. because that's what it was for Jeffrey Canada, and the money would come flooding in. That's one of the biggest reasons, in my opinion, why I think our rich celebrities and rich black folk don't really give money back to our people. There isn't a system or an organized way for them to see when they make that investment to get results. So it's on us to build that system. And you know why? Because we have the blueprint. If you haven't watched the blueprint, like I said, it's a detailed plan from how we go from nothing to something. It's on our website, blackwalletsmatter.org. You can go and look on the click on the menu button up in the right-hand corner, and then there's a link, and it says the blueprint. It's our mission. We can build exactly what I'm telling you. And once we do it in one place, then we can roll it out. We have basketball players. We have comedians, entertainers. We have people with crazy, crazy money. But there's no system. There's also government money, but there's no system to get that money. And once we have the prototype, trust me, getting the other people on board. We know how our people are. We see something good. We wanna be a part of it. This is human psychology. Everyone wants to be a part of the winning team. And once we're winning, we will have a flood of members. A flood of members. So let me tell you what the members would do. We ask for membership dues. Membership dues start at $10 at the silver level, $25 at the golden ambassador level, and $50 at the platinum champion level. That $28 that I talked to you about that I mentioned earlier is an average of all three. We would have a flood of people coming in $10, $25, $50, that will allow us to have our $28 average monthly membership due, that revenue. And then that will allow us to learn the things that we don't know. See, I've started numerous businesses. Sometimes the businesses fail because they were bad ideas, but usually they fail because I ran out of money before I found out what actually worked. So what I know now, when I go to launch any new enterprise or any idea or whatever, first I want to know if there is actually a demand for what it is that I have, and I want to try to fail as fast as I possibly can. I want to hurry up and get all the things I don't know out the way and then learn what I need to know. So running a transportation company, a large-scale transportation company, I have absolutely no idea how that works. But I do know if we were to go and buy a company, somebody would have to learn. We're going to have to pay somebody to do it. And then because we want these skills to be passed on to future generations, we have to have the money there to educate. So there's people who are going to have to come in that company and learn how it works without actually really contributing anything, but they need to be paid. That's like how other people pass on like the information in the family business. When your father owns the company or whatever it is, he has you coming into work. You're basically working for free. You're learning. You're getting on-the-job training. So we're going to have to provide a system where our people are going to have to get paid on-the-job training. Why? Because we want that information. We want that education being transferred down the line. If our people want to become entrepreneurs, and I mean, we have a lot of people who express interest in entrepreneurship. I speak to a lot of people. The sad truth, a lot, we don't understand business at the rudiment. Not a lot of us. We want to be in business, but we don't understand everything that entails. And we have to learn. And I can tell you, running a small business is totally different from running an enterprise. I can guarantee you the difference. So we want to ask people to come on board and help us build the system that we're talking about. But here's the thing. We have qualities that we're looking for in members. We don't just want anyone. Because when we have our members meetings, we have our members call, it's like a family. And we've lost some members, like I said, so we have 400 members, but actually we've lost a few members because we're zeroed in on our mission. Our mission is not for self-enrichment. Our mission is to be part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for members who want to be part of something bigger than themselves. We're looking for people who want to build a legacy that they can be proud of. We're looking for those who are searching for trustworthy brothers and sisters. So we know trust is one of the serious problems that we have amongst our people. But there are those of us who are saying, well, if I could just find a trustworthy person, or you know what, I'll take a risk, I'll take a flyer on that person. And you do it, and they don't violate your trust. And then that's how we build stronger and stronger unity. We're looking for people who are interested in a realistic plan that can improve our situation. So everything that I'm saying to you tonight, I'm just giving you an overview. It is outlined, detailed facts and figures, like I said, in the blueprint on our website. This plan is very realistic. It is very doable. It's basically a marketing problem is what it is. And we need to do good, show our people that, and then market the hell out of it is what we need. And if we had celebrities on board, like the thing like with Colin Kaepernick, he used his platform to basically spread the awareness of what, you know, of the problems that we have going on in our community. I love the brother because he did that. And I think I probably won't watch the Super Bowl for that. I'm not a big football fan anyway, but I usually catch the Super Bowl. I think I'm probably not going to watch the Super Bowl. I boycotted all year long. But, I mean, the brother used his platform to do that. And finally, we want people who are willing to set aside their differences to work for the benefit of us all. So another problem that we have, we know we disagree. We know we're disagreeable. But we can't agree to disagree. We disagree and then want to burn the house down. And that's crazy. We don't keep the larger picture, you know, in front of us. I went to the VA or whatever it was, right? So they have the VA hall. They got Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine guys in there. And then within those ranks, they have, like, you know, the different squadrons or whatever they were. They're in there arguing, doing whatever it is, you know, boasting, you know, being different, saying which one is this and who's this and blah, 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 blah. When it came time to pull for a guy, he was, like, losing his house. Or it was something that happened to him. And he was just in the service. All of them were outside the VA hall selling sandwiches, selling these hoagies. On the street, old white guys, old white ladies, you know, whatever, outside trying to sell Air Force Marine, wearing their hats, but in support of this guy, that fallen brother. That's what we need to do. We need to, and it's only going to be like-minded brothers and sisters. It's not going to be all of us. I actually was thinking about this, and I don't know if I was talking to Brother Cujo about this. We're going to have to kind of like redefine ourselves, like Black 2.0, African American 2.0, I don't know, you know, something, right? We're going to have to really make a distinction between what's out there, like that craziness that's out there, and then those of us who are serious, sane, and logical, because there's a lot of craziness out there. And we're going to have to really separate ourselves, and we're going to have to stand as something to aspire to. So then the people on the crazy side can look and be like, you know what? I don't want to be over here anymore. I want to go over there with them. And we have to redefine it. Now, one of the things I know, which is news to me, some folks are like, we're not even black. This is all new to me. But whatever the definition is going to be, I've been black 43 years. I'm not changing anything. You African-American on a form, okay, cool, but I define myself as black. But whatever it is, we're going to have to define ourselves with amongst our people that we are something different so that they will know immediately upon talking to us that we are not part of the tomfoolery. I'm serious because it's crazy. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it. Folks are crazy. And we have to stand out. You have to be something to aspire to. So if anything that I said to you tonight makes sense, if it appeals to you, then we would like to invite you to come aboard. Like I said, membership dues are $10 at the silver level, 25 at the golden level and 50 at the platinum level. Membership dues are deducted monthly. If you are not in a position to become a member on a monthly basis, then we also have a link on our website where you can make a contribution to our financial goals. So we're not a nonprofit organization. We're a B Corp, which is a benefit corporation, but we have a nonprofit organization that we are affiliated with. If we are not able to reach our financial goals, then what we will do is offer you the ability to write off your membership dues. So that's working with our nonprofit organization. So you pretty much have, at the very least, you can cancel that at any time, or you can just get your money back. So you have absolutely nothing to lose if you meet the qualifications that I specified, which is you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself, you want to build a legacy you can be proud of, you are searching for trustworthy brothers and sisters, you're looking for a realistic plan, you know, that can improve our situation, and you're willing to set aside personal differences to work with a group of like-minded brothers and sisters to benefit us all. Those are the qualifications. If that sounds like you, then we want you. All right? So I am going to open up the call for Q&A. And if you have any questions, I kind of really don't want to take questions in regards to the organization. If you want to talk about the system, if you want to talk about how we can build this thing, you want to talk about the solutions, which is what we're going to do anyway, we're going to start talking about solutions, then by all means, press *6, jump in the queue. So if anyone, all right, so we have a few people who are on the call that I didn't get a chance to address. Caller from 706-461, your first name, please. I see you, Brother Shy, just give me a moment. Caller from 706-461, your first name, please. Hello? Caller? Okay, caller. If we can't get your first name, then we are going to have to drop you from the call. So everyone who's on the call, if you came in late while I was talking, this is your first time. I am going to ask you your first name. And if you don't want to give me your first name, then you are going to be dropped from the call. So caller from 706-461, your first name, please. I see you're trying to call. I'm sorry?
Shannon.
I'm sorry? Shannon? Okay, Sister Shannon.
Janet.
Oh, Sister. Okay. Let's see here. Caller from 832 area code, your first name, please.
Rosalind.
Okay, Sister.
Yes.
Hold on. Sister Rosalind. All right, thank you, Sister. Caller from 901 area code. Your first name, please. Caller from 901. Your first name, please. Hello? Can't really hear you. Your phone's breaking up. Caller, I don't know what's going on. Caller from 408 area code, your first name, please.
Sister Habiba. Excuse me.
Sister, okay, hold on. Sister, could you help me out with the spelling, please?
H-A-B-I-B-A.
Got it. Yep. I'm good. I spelled that. I just didn't want to mess it up. Okay, and then let me try again. Caller from 901, your first name, please. All right, caller, we're going to have to drop you. All right, Brother Shah.
So we cut out. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother.
Okay, so I am running a nonprofit, so I am actually at nonprofit, but so I don't have any funds to get into the system right now. I definitely will get on the link. I just wanted to actually comment that this is, I definitely see what you're saying about the ethnic community, the ethnic groups, how they get together. I'm in Chicago, Illinois, and you know, I grew up in a Hispanic neighborhood, and indeed, they pull together, and, you know, 12 of them work at McDonald's, at, you know, back when I'm 45, that work at make $3 an hour, but then they build up, and they bought property over here that's worth $1 million now. You know, they pull their money together. They have the travel agency. They have the stores. And I wholeheartedly agree with you that, you know, there's a, you know, in Chicago we have Chinatown, all Chinese. They're all putting their money together. Little Italy, you know, Little Mexico. There's no little black town, you know, because in the black community, just like you said, in our community, we have, it's the Arabs or the Chinese or the Asians that are running these businesses. So it's no real black town as far as, you know, our ownership. So I wholeheartedly agree. This is a highly viable system. I am going to actually promote this to other people in my nonprofit. I said one question, I think. Let me just bear with me here. What you said, what kind of corporation are you?
B Corp, Benefit Corporation.
B as in boy. Okay, B Corp. Okay, gotcha. I don't want to take up a lot of time. I think that's, I'm going to look at the blue. I had not looked at the blueprint. I got recommended by someone else, by Kenneth Westbrooks. So he sent me the email. So, yes, so thank you very much. I'll look at the blueprint, and thank you. This is definitely going to be succeed. We're going to make this happen.
Okay, great. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And any other questions you have are on the website under the FAQs. All right. So
okay, you know, thank you very much.
All right, so don't think I'm just like throwing the questions and like, now I don't want to take anything. It's just that we do that on these calls sometimes, and then it winds up taking all night, and it's stuff that we repeat over and over and over. Everything is on the website, it's on the FAQs, or you could just send me an email if, you know. All right, thank you so much, brother. All right.
Thank you.
Sister Sandra.
Hi, my name is Sandra. I'm from Lansing, Michigan.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was wondering, what is your plan for getting the word out?
Well, you in terms of the word out in regards to the organization as it currently stands, or when we begin building some of these larger entities?
Building the larger entities.
Well, PR. PR is going to be on our side, because then we have something to, you know, stand out there and beat our chest about, because we're actually doing something. So I am a stickler for the numbers, right? So I would go in and, you know, have it as a mandate that we're monitoring some statistics. Are we monitoring, like, what's the change or the drop in crime? How many students are we having coming through here? And then, you know, monitoring the improvement with their, you know, at school. And so, like, our nonprofit organization, Wheelchairs Against Guns, right, we go into the schools and talk to the kids about the dangers of bullying, gangs, and gun violence. One of the things that we do, we take a pre and post survey. And what we're trying to monitor is, or what we're trying to understand is, the change in mindset. We're trying to quantify the change or the efficacy of the workshops with the children. And we would do pretty much the same thing. And so if we are able to measure something, right, let's say the numbers are bad, Well, obviously we wouldn't promote that, but now we know something where we need to work on. But any good numbers we have, any improvement, you know, PR would be our best friend, because that's that's what most of the celebrities, they're looking for something that works. Jay-Z had Big's mother had this community center after he died. I believe it was on Fulton or something like that, but it was in Brooklyn. And they started off, they were giving turkeys, and then the next thing they were doing, they were giving computers away, and they were helping these kids. And they kind of was like, you know, seeing what kind of improvement or what was going on with these kids. And they found out that these kids were staying in the house more. Now, this is, you remember Big died a while back. So this is when kids were coming outside and, you know, shooting guns and selling drugs or whatever. But they were staying in the house more, and they were improving a little bit in school. And so Jay-Z's mother helped with combined with that organization. And they gave away a whole bunch more computers, and then he actually started giving away scholarships to some of those students. So I don't know what happened to that, but that's something that happened years ago. And they got behind that because they had something that was working. So I know if we were to roll something larger, I'm actually talking about something larger. I'm talking about something that could basically take care of, like, that whole community. Like, we find a community, we draw a border around it, and we say we are here to serve these people, and they come in. And if we have to feed these kids breakfast, lunch, and dinner, then so be it. If the parents need, you know, if people need help with reading, mathematics, remedial mathematics, and things like that, we'll do it. You know, we'll do whatever is necessary. So it's going to take a lot of money. And if we're able to do something like that, oh, you can best believe that the media would want this story. And then not to mention, we have general advertising. I am not above advertising. Let's say if we do it in Baltimore, I am not above running ads on the newspaper, or I'm running ads in the newspaper or on the radio or on TV saying, listen, we're changing things. Come check us out.
Okay. Does that answer your question? Yes. I was just wondering what kind of manpower you have to do all this work.
Well, sister, I mean, you were here from the beginning of the call, so, you know, currently we have none. We're trying to build it. We're going to have to hire the people, right? So I am very realistic with my estimates. Currently, with our current membership, like, so with the 2,000 members, we get to the 2,000 members, that is going to allow us to build, like I was saying, the shopping portal.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's trillions of dollars in e-commerce going on right now. We're the largest consumers in the country. I'm not exactly sure what our numbers are in terms of spend of e-commerce, but we're leading the pack in that regard, though. We're leading the pack, and that is going to be a very, very large chunk of money that we're going to be able to bring in. So that's going to bring in millions. Then what we want to do is hire the people. So someone who knows civic planning, we want to go and hire a civic planner, someone who knows how to run a trade school or even partner with an existing trade school or whatever it is. We'll hire those people to go in and do it. Someone who has experience operating social programs and dealing with, mental health issues, issues with the family in the home, you know, setting up a food pantry and all of that stuff. We're going to hire the people to do it. So we're not saying that we're going to do it ourselves unless someone within our current ranks has that skill set. But no, personally, I'm like, no, we're going to have to hire the people to do these things. But what we also want to do is have some of our people working hand in hand so that they can learn those skills as well. So that's something that can be rolled out. So let's say if we did it in Baltimore and we had a group of our people learning from the people that we hired, well, guess what? Now when it's time to go to Atlanta, our people who are newly trained, they can go to Atlanta and we can pay our own people. You understand what
I'm saying? Okay. Yes, I do. I understand that.
And one of the other things, so I used to mention this like during some of the earlier calls, right? So running something the size of what we're talking about, There's going to be a lot of jobs, and it's going to need a lot of services, right? So, like I said, we're talking about food, we're talking about transportation, we're talking about training, you know, all these different things. There's going to be stationery. If any of our people have companies, have, you know, own a stationery business or whatever it is, we're going to support our own people. Those will be the people who get the contract. It becomes its own ecosystem. So it's kind of sort of like how the government operates, right? So the government is, it need, has so many things it needs, and then it goes out and it asks, you know, people, hey, do you want to provide these services, bid on them? Well, we want to take bids from our people. And if our people don't have the requisite skill set or the businesses, we want to go and have the ability to acquire them, train people, and now they can go. And so it's like, what is it called? Vertical integration. If you look at like how some of these large companies, let's just take Amazon, if they need something, they'll go and buy a company that provides something that they've been spending a whole lot of money so that they can bring that in-house. We want to do the same thing.
Okay. Well, you know, I also wondered as a member, what would I be given responsibilities and things to do?
Well, if you have a skill set that we need, then yes, it would be cool. But if you don't have a skill set that we need, then it's no need to put a burden on yourself, because we're trying to, really what we're trying to do is have this thing done right. And so one of the challenges that we've had with some of the other initiatives that we try to roll out is we didn't actually quite have everything organized the way that we wanted. It wasn't executed properly, and that's because many of us don't have the requisite skill sets to do some of the things that we wanted to do. So you wouldn't be really required. But what you will be required to do, though, is get the word out, spread, recruit, talk, find more like-minded brothers and sisters. What we're doing for the members currently, we're working on our own development. We're working on growth and leadership skills within ourselves. And that's so that you can go out into, you know, go out into the community and like I was mentioning earlier, be someone that others can aspire to be, right? Set a shiny example.
Okay.
All right, sister.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. So we had some other people in the queue, but they are gone. So that is pretty much, does anyone have any other questions or comments in regards to that? If not, I will just bring an issue to the floor and we can begin discussing that. Actually, we can go back to what we were talking about last week. What was the question? Here was the question. When a race of people prioritize their own well-being before others, is it called common sense? Is it called racism? Is it called self-preservation? Or is it called intelligence? So what happened last week, we had a few people answer that question. Some people actually said that is racism. And I think it's common sense. I think it's self-preservation, and I think it's intelligence. I do not think it's racism on prioritizing the well-being of your own before you prioritize the well-being of someone else, because it's like you not worrying about the food on the table for your kids, but you're worried about somebody else's, right? You got to make sure that everything is taken care of at home. So I would like feedback from the callers. What do you think about that question? What do you think it is? And I believe there was a brother on. He was saying that he thought it was racist. Actually, there was a few people who thought it was racism, and I would like to understand why they thought that. But I don't think they're on the call this week. I don't think they're on the call this week. Okay, so no one wants to weigh in on that. Okay. Let me go to this next. Hold on for a minute. Okay, so now we have Now we have quite a few. There we go. There we go. Okay, Brother Vaughn. Peace, brother. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, brother?
All right.
Just on that topic, like I like that question because, like you said, I know a couple of people, and I've heard had that conversation too, and people say it's racist, but it's like
right.
We, our people, are the only ones who think that that's racist. But it's a brainwashing tool that was used against us because only our people think first to add somebody else to whatever we're going through. Like when we got a plight or we got a battle, it's always we can get help. Somebody else will help us if we add their people to it or we add their battle or whatever they're going through. If we add it to our fight, it's like that takes away from our fight. We can't fight for each other first. Like, that's my whole, like, that's why I like what we got, what you got going on. And
no, you said it. You said it right. Well, you said it right. You said what we got going on, brother. You're
right.
A member. Yeah.
Exactly. I like what we got going on because the it's us first. We have to take care of us first because if we don't take care of us first, we'll never get to know who we are. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest problems that amongst us as a whole and as a people, because it's like a bridge that used to be there in our communities got burnt down. And when that bridge got burnt down, it's like you walk down the street and see, you know, some of the nicest people in the world and not even speak and damn across the street because they the same color as you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's a horrible thing amongst us, but it's only us. Like, I'm from Cincinnati, but I am right now in Pasadena, Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Man, everything down here is Mexican-owned, Mexican-ran. And I can see it everywhere I go, every store I walk in, every restaurant, every hotel, everything, sidebar, malls, everything. They control and run all of it. And I'm like, wow. Wow. Like, their communities, everything, it's all them. And you can tell, like, it's there. This is they shit. Ain't nobody, what's down here is theirs. Like, and it's like, if we gave a quarter of a thought to what we do as a whole with each other, if we just thought of it and just thought of each other for just half a second, we so easily can get to where we want to be so easily. Like you said, we ain't got 2,000 members, and I can't even, for me, that was such a simple plan. But I've been trying to promote it to people and pushing it just to get people to come aboard, and it's like, that should be the easiest thing in the world.
Hey, bro, I thought it was too. I thought it was going to be easy too. But, you know, my eyes are wide open.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we'll talk about this on the members, you know, at the members meeting or whatever. But, you know, we have our agenda. We have a new agenda.
Right.
We're still going to work. We're still going to push forward whether we get the 2,000 members or not. To your point, though, in terms of, like, the Mexicans, when you just say, you know, you go down there, if you were to ask them, hey, you taking care of this, doing this, providing for your own, I guarantee you they would not say that it's racism. Actually, you ask them, they'll probably be like, gay? You know, like, what? What are you talking about?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's just us. Like you said, it's just us. We want to be so inclusive and, you know, all of that other stuff. But we need an example. We need an example, and what that example is going to do is it's going to show other people how to do it. Because see, the Mexicans in their country, they do susus, they do, I forgot this other thing they do, but they like build these houses together.
Right.
They pool of money,
right.
They buy the concrete, they build these houses together, right? So they have like those kinds of skills, and they shop with each other, and you know, they got that because they come from their country. So we have to We have to show our people what that looks like. And I'm telling you, and when they see it, and it's like, here's how you do it. And it has to be bootstrapped. So what I said earlier on the call is, I mean, everyone, you guys need to understand this word bootstrap, right? You guys have to live this word, because no one is going to give us money to do the things that we want to do. We can sit here, wish, hope, dream, and pray. People only give you money when they can see the ROI on what they're, you know, they only make that investment when they can see the ROI. And if we are saying we need trade schools, we need better education, we need all of this, the people with the money are looking at it and like, well, what do we get out of it?
Right.
So we're the only ones who are going to benefit. So we have to do that. And I mean, like I said, man, we're trying. We're going to lose a lot of money, right? Because we're doing stuff that we don't know. We're stepping out of our comfort zone. So when we step out of our comfort zone, it requires an education. It requires a period of getting acclimated. And once we're acclimated to what's going on, once we understand these things, then we can just pass it on to the next generation. They don't have to make those mistakes anymore. They become more efficient, more productive, more profitable. I mean, bro, this thing can build, man. I mean, listen, I love you for coming on board, man, and sticking with us, you know, because I know you had a bad experience with the organization. I know you had something that could have left a bad taste in your mouth, man, but you still pulled with us. You still stuck with us, man. So I already know where your heart is, man. And I thank you for
what
that,
I was
man.
Looking for. I told you this was something I was looking for. And to see it, the conversation that you was having before you asked the question, it kinda leads into the same, because if we don't do it for us, like if we don't set no example, like nobody, like you said, like, people pay for it. If you build it, they'll come. You know what I mean? That's one of the craziest sayings, but it's one of the realest ones, though. If you build it, they come. Somebody got to build it first. Somebody got to do the groundwork, stay down, get beat down, get tossed around, get hurt and battled and bruised, and then come out clean. And then when you come out clean, everybody going to rush you. Everybody going to be a part of you because you're clean now. Everybody see the clean. Everybody want to be a part of the clean. Don't nobody want to be a part of the dirty. Like, I'm cool. I can be a part of the dirty because that's where I'm from. That's easy, you know? So it's like if we could just togetherly do it and see it for what it really is, it's not I'm not against nobody else. I'm just for my people.
There you go. Yeah, we not anti-this, anti-that. We just for us. Exactly.
That's all it is. I'm not against nobody else. I love what everybody else is doing because it gives me an avenue of, you know, they made a blueprint. I ain't got to make a lot of mistakes because of somebody did it before me. You know what I mean? I'm not against nobody. I'm just for us. I want to see us at these pinnacles. I want to see us making these decisions. I want to see us in these positions of power and control. Man, I used to be in a union. And I do telecommunications, and it just hurt my heart to see us, like, we so small in it, for one, in these trades. Like, that hurt me, one, and then to see, like, how they hold us and how far we can go in it. Just, like, I quit the union, and it was great. Don't get me wrong, it didn't do me bad at all. I just couldn't take that. I couldn't do it, so I came non-union, and it ain't that it's no better or nothing like that. I'm just more in control of myself. And with that, it just made me, I want to start my own company and bring a whole bunch of black folks on with me, and we can do this work. And it's too easy, and it's too much money.
Absolutely.
And it's
we need to build. You got to send me an email or something, and we got to connect and figure out how to vote that out.
I got you, because I got some other things that I need to talk to you about, too, anyway. But I had to say that because it's just, like, it's so crazy how against each other we are to begin with, like, to start, we got to prove something to each other. Like, we want to do something good,
But I first got to prove it to you and show you that I really want to do something good for you to even be on board with it. But if it came to somebody else, we jump on board just to try to see if this improvement's going to work, whether we lose money or not or anything. But when it comes to something for us, it's like, let me see what you're talking about first. Let me see what you're going to do first. You know, so it's like we have to stay fast with where we at right now and what we doing now and push forward, because that's the only way it's going to work. Because like you said, you guys set the example, and then people will follow along. Other than that, we're going to be where we at.
Excellent, brother. You're reading everything that's written on my heart, man. I'm glad that, you know, we were able to find a brother like you. So even if you go out and you communicate with your truth to and your conviction to other people, and they're not reading it, brother, you know what? Then they're not the right people for what we're doing, because everything you just said echoed the sentiment and the essence of, you know, the type of people that we need to build it. You just said, I'll be dirty. I can deal with it. And then come out clean. And that's really what it needs. We need to be the trailblazers. We need to take the arrows in the back, the pioneers, take the arrows in the back so that we can make it better for those who come
on with it. Come on with it. You can stand strong.
That's the stuff, though. Thank you, brother. We got a few more people in the queue, man. Thank you, man, so much, man.
No, right.
Yeah, make sure you hit me up too, bro.
I got you.
All right, cool. Peace. Yeah. Sister Sandra.
Yeah, my question is do you have a plan on opening a bank?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a plan to open a bank?
No, we don't have a plan for that.
Okay.
That's not something that I actually we're going to need at some point in time. We're going to need to do that, but you need to have a lot of money in order to do it. And there are no, so everyone thinks that we have these like fully owned black banks. They aren't. You still have to, you know, you still have to have FDIC approval and all this other stuff. So there's no totally autonomous bank. It just doesn't work that way. So, but I haven't even really thought about it, to be honest with you. I think we need the businesses first. You need the businesses first, and then when you have the businesses, you are able to have a seat at the big boys' table, and then you can start getting in on banking, things like that.
I see. Thank you.
Right. Yep. So we have Brother Derek. What's going on? We have Sister Mai, Brother Cujo, Brother Leonard, and Brother Leon after that. Brother Derek, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Peace.
First and foremost, I wanted to. I knew there's been a couple of callers and a couple of other issues that came up, but I wanted to address that first issue I heard about whether the systematic treatment is racial or is it self-preservation, or I think there are a couple other examples that. But one of the greatest tricks ever pulled is convincing people that something is not racism or racism doesn't exist, and the reason. That particular way, that particular issue you're talking about, now on the surface, it may not be racism. You looking out for your brother, you know, that's not racism. But if it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with them looking out for the white man. It's they look out for the white man, and then they make it more difficult for the black man. That's where the racism comes in. You can look out for your people if you want to all day long. Cool. Hey, rah, rah. Throw a parade for yourself. That's cool. But the moment you start to make it more difficult for other races, it can't be anything but racism. And a good example for that is a business, starting a business. You have a city inspector who has to come out and say, you have to do A, B, and C to open. Now, if he's white and the people opening the businesses are white, the white people can maybe have A and B done and half of C done, and he'll say, hey, you can go ahead and open. I'll be back in a month or two to make sure you have C done.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But then when the black man comes in, you got to have A done, A.1 done, A.2 done, B done, D.1 done, C done. That's when it's racist. You
that's
know what
the
I'm
system.
Saying?
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
The
that's
system.
The system. Yeah, that's how they throw those little jabs at us right? So he can't go in there and tell you you can't open a business, but he can make it damn hard for you. Exactly. Exactly.
But that's racism, though, bro.
No. It's in the system.
Right.
That's the systematic racism that we're talking about.
And the biggest thing, and I think that the young lady who just called, and I could hear what she really wanted in her question, asking you about the bank, and I think the way that you answered it gave people an example of the two perspectives that were the two ways that black people look at things. For one, now everybody says, you know, Citizens Trust is a black owned bank, and they, of course, they do have a white partner who behind the scenes and all that. But the one thing that you said that may discourage some people that's not necessarily true is how difficult it is to open a bank. And I'm going to tell you right now, LeBron James, and this is just an example, I'll use another. LeBron James has enough money off of a Reebok contract to open a bank and not have any strings attached, not have to worry about sitting at the big boys table, not have to worry about none of that. We as black people do not have to yield to white people for anything. We do not have to want a seat at their table. We do not have to build up enough capital and revenue and property to ask them to look at what we're doing. None of that's necessary. We can do it all with this. With your plan is a perfect example. If we open enough businesses, if we make our kids smarter, like you said, with the school and the things of that nature, the mentoring program, the computers, if we make our next generation smarter, if we give them a legacy to follow as in the businesses that we start, we will slowly but surely, and that Matrix movie is so real, when they come in there and they pull that plug out and Neo and them wake up, blah, 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 that is so real because we can do that. I mean, I really don't know what else to say, bro, because we're on the right track. But whenever I hear somebody say something not racism that I know is systematic racism with 20 sheets of camouflage on top of it, that drives me crazy. Because that's just like the black people who you never hear a white man say don't vote. When you see a black man, one out of every other black man is telling you why voting don't matter. Don't vote. Voting is not helping. That's part of the plan too.
I know. Hey, I mean, you're echoing. You're saying the same thing. So here's the thing, right? We had a conversation a few weeks ago about the banking situation, and that conversation kind of got heated, had people in their feelings and things like that. They weren't quite understanding what I was saying. The all-encompassing system, and actually, you know, I don't even want to get into it, but let me just say this. I understand, right, so there's a difference from us having our pride about what's going on and about what's realistic, and realistically, we cannot opt out of the system. The only way we're going to opt out of the system is if we go to some country somewhere ourselves and set up our own thing. And, I mean, you can see what's happening in Libya and Iran and Iraq and all these other
places. Why do you think that?
I don't want to even get into that discussion, to be honest. I don't even want to get into it.
No disrespect. I'm not saying have a discussion about it because I think the answer is simple. But if what the plan that you have on the table right now, everything that you've done with Black Wallets Matter, if you, 10 years from now, if everything that you want to do, well, no, if 5 years from now, if everything that you set in motion for Black Wallets Matter comes to fruition, everything works, my brother, you will be able to completely get yourself unstrapped from the system. There is nothing, if you can open your own bank, your own gas station, your own grocery store, your own mall, you would need the system for nothing.
To get a bank charter, where are you gonna go to get a bank charter? What do you have to do to get a? Can you just go and go get a building and be like, you know what, I'm a bank, or do you have to get a bank charter?
I'm gonna tell you like this: if I had $20 million, I could open a bank in the next week.
Okay, but I'm asking you to get your bank.
It's about
charter.
The money.
What I'm asking you is, what do you have to do to get the banking charter? You have to apply for a banking charter, right?
That's
you have
true.
To apply for. But okay, so because you have to apply, that means that you have to appeal to the system, and you have to be approved. And if they
that's
decide
not
to, okay, well, okay. All right.
Okay. Listen, okay. Well, I got a perfect example.
I don't want to get into a whole call about that. I want to stick to the topic because we got a few people in the queue. I don't want to get off into a whole discussion about the banking and the finance and that because the goal is to just get.
But that's important,
point.
Bro.
I'm sorry.
It's very important that you don't. If you're telling people, hey, that's something that we can't do, you should never do that, man.
I'm not telling you what they can't do.
You just told the entire call that.
Brother, hold on.
And I'm telling you, we can open a bank with the money tomorrow.
I didn't say open a bank. I said opt out of the system.
But having a bank is part of that. That's what I'm saying. If we had our own bank, our own grocery stores, our own gas station, we don't need the system. And I understand what you're saying. We got to apply. We got to do that. That's true. But I'm going to tell you just like I told the district attorney in my city when he told me I might need to kiss some ass if I want my business license. I said, bro, as long as I'm not breaking the law and as long as I got all of my ducks in a row and I'm doing the right thing, they can't do nothing but break the law to stop me. I ain't got to be nice. I don't have to kiss no ass. I don't have to say please. If it's in the books to do and I do it right, I ain't got to kiss no ass. I ain't part of no system. And I'm telling you, we don't have to be. We can make our own, and I forgot school. Those four things, and we out of the system. Period. We out. School, gas station, bank, grocery store. And all of it is possible. I mean, this year possible, not 2040 possible. But, I mean, I understand. I apologize again for my feelings or whatnot. I know you got other cues, people in your cues.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Right.
We have Brother Cujo. Brother Cujo. Brother Cujo? See, you're trying to say something. All right, we'll come back to you. Brother Leonard.
Did you call on me, Lou?
Yes, it did, brother.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I wanted to say welcome to all the new callers, the first-time callers. I am a member, and I think I joined last month, and I only really had to listen to what he presented. And then I encourage everybody to go to blackwalletsmatter.org, hit the menu, and then listen to the blueprint. It gives you everything you need to know. But what I wanted to share, the fact that we're having conversations about our people, what we don't do, that's the absence of cultural collectivity. The brother used the example with the Hispanics. The Filipinos are this way. The Armenians are this way. The Koreans are this way. So they all have the same formula. Now, we understand this came from slavery, but at the end of the day, what this brother is trying to do and the people that are working collectively with us to get to the 2000, the question I want you to ask yourself when you don't join, why didn't I join? And you're going to come up with, I don't trust. Maybe it's not for me. But let me share something with all of us. If we do not do this, okay, and this brother has taken the reins, if we do not do this, and we own this collectively, nationwide, we will have walked our people what's going to be economic slavery. And I will always say that because in the 60s, 40-something percent of the African-American population have businesses. And I work for one, so I know what I'm kind of talking about. Now we're at 6%. So if we're at 6% in 2013, the question is, where are we going to be in 2025? So what this brother is presenting is something that we have to do. You don't have an option of turning your back. You can if you want to, but then when you see this thing where your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren can't get a job because all the other organizations, all the other ethnic groups are not going to hire you because the economy is going to dictate that. See, if you go to a Mexican restaurant, you don't see Chinese people eating in the Mexican restaurant. You see Mexicans. When you go to a Chinese restaurant, you see them in a Chinese neighborhood. But we're missing the cultural collectivity. So getting back to the question, it's self-preservation. Other ethnic groups don't have this kind of discussion. What they talk about is what Lou is trying to get us to understand. Come together, let's do business. They don't talk about, the third generation Hispanic, they don't respect the fourth generation Hispanic. The Koreans, they don't do this. They talk about the young Koreans. They don't have that kind of conversation, okay? What they talk about is handling business. And they've already studied us. What Lou and the rest of us are trying to do is change the narrative. They realize we're a consumer. They don't have to respect you. If any of you have been in the black neighborhood and you see the Koreans, as soon as you come in, they start following you around. What you gonna buy? What you gonna buy? What you want? Let me help you. Okay. They don't care because they don't have to respect you. And the reason why they're on you, and I hate saying it, even if I go 55 out of 10 times, you're in there to try to either take something, and I'm not saying all of us are this way. I'm telling you that they've already studied us. Okay, they understand that. We're just consumers, and that's it. And what Black Wallets Matter is trying to do is change the mindset and change the future. And I encourage all of us to join and continue to have people come on the call. Because if we don't do it, go to sleep with this. What's it going to look like in 2040 for African Americans? Because we didn't come together collectively. So it's a cultural collectivity that we're trying to create and a consciousness. And that's all I got.
Thank you so much, brother. You're 100% right. You're 100% right, man. If we can't employ ourselves, we see what's going on. I mentioned earlier on, in the beginning about our human capital. If that human capital can't be used, and right now you can look at society, we're not being utilized, it's going to feed on itself. That energy has to go somewhere, and that's going to be the manifestation of, like, the violence that we have and all that stuff. And we know our people will hesitate to go do something else to somebody else. We'll do it to a brother or sister first. So that's also something to keep in mind, too. But I want to thank you for chiming in, brother.
Absolutely.
Sister Mai and Brother Leon. Sister Mai.
Hello, am I muted?
No, can you hear me? Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Good call, great topic. The resurgence of that question about whether or not supporting our own is racist, I'm in agreement with you, absolutely not. And, Dr. Joy DeGruy gave a great definition that I love to repeat when people call something racist. And she says that it means that you are in position to systematically prevent the economic improvement of a people. And we are in nowhere near that type of position. We are not in a position to systematically oppress anyone or prevent anyone from any type of economic gain. Because we just don't have it. We're not collective enough to have anything in this current system that would prevent anyone else from achieving under, you know, our system, because we don't have one. So that there's no way I feel like Black people can be racist, period, anyway. Secondly, I just finished reading Dick Gregory's last book, and he said something at the very end that really shocked me that I wanted to share with you guys. He said that, you know, we are so brainwashed that they did a study. They're always studying us, as we know. And there was a study done with white people and Black people alike, the same number of people, I think it was 100 people. And they showed them pictures, and they monitored your brain activity as to what happens when you see pictures. And so they showed people pictures of their family members, and your brain does a certain thing, and you have this certain, you know, reaction that, and it didn't matter what color you were, you had the same, you know, type of reaction towards a family member or towards friends and loved ones, people you knew. And they had very similar or the same reactions around white people they didn't know. They showed a Black person, a big Black guy with that no one knew, wasn't a family member. 64% of white people who saw that picture, their brainwave, like the needle or whatever, kind of went off the chart.